take your Bible and turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 20 this morning for our text. Verses 18 through 20, let's go ahead and read, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We're going to consider this thought this morning. Why did Jesus go to Calvary? Why did Jesus go to the cross of Calvary? There's a song that I hear from time to time that I've known over the years, and the first line of that song asks this following question. It says, "Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no one has ever done? There's just one reason. I'm the one." And the chorus of that song goes on to tell how God loves sinful men, and that is the reason that Jesus suffered what he did on the cross. And certainly that thought is true, because the Bible does say in Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that thought is true, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, yes. However, we need to understand that God's love for mankind is only one side of this story. There are other reasons why Jesus went to the cross, other reasons that came together to make the cross a reality. And the Bible says, and Peter touches on a couple of those reasons in this passage. And this morning, I want to ask and answer this question: why did Jesus go to Calvary? And I think some of the main reasons are given in this passage, and I want to share them with you today. As we consider this important passage together, I would challenge you, let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never repented of your sin, today you have the opportunity to be saved. If you're a child of God, you have an opportunity today to praise the Lord even more for what he's done for you. And so let's consider this morning this question: why did Jesus go to Calvary? Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us great understanding today and appreciation for Jesus Christ, for our salvation, for the love that you have demonstrated and shown to mankind. Father, I pray this morning as well for those among us who have never been saved. I pray that you draw them to your Son today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, the very first reason we want to consider when we ask this question, why did Jesus go to Calvary? The very first reason to consider is because there was a plan that needed to be finished. Verse 20 tells us, look at there with me, verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So Peter says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The reason why Jesus went to Calvary is because there was a plan to finish. And we find here that this plan was what we could call an old plan. And what I mean by that is that this verse tells us that Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, there are some who take this word foreordained and they take it to mean advanced knowledge, like prior knowledge. And in part, that is true. But it is so much more than just advanced knowledge. The word carries with it the idea of advanced or foreplanning. As in, and not only that God knew what Jesus would do, but that the primary meaning here is that God planned it well before the foundation of the world, well before there was ever sin that entered into the world. God had this plan in place for the redemption of mankind. Not only did God know what was going to happen, but He planned that Jesus would come to this world to die on the cross for the sins of men. This plan was in the heart of God before sin ever even entered the heart of man. Before Adam ever sinned in the garden, God had already had a plan in place and set into motion and in action a plan that would culminate in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for the reconciliation of lost sinners to God. According to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, in the mind of God, Jesus Christ died before the world was ever even formed. He was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And listen, that God would provide salvation before there was ever even sin in this world is an amazing thing. Listen, that God would provide salvation, knowing that you and that I would exist, and knowing that you and I would need a substitute and a payment for our sin. Listen, my friends, that is nothing more than the pure grace of God for you and for me. God knew that you would exist. God knew that you as an individual, and my friend, take this personal this morning. Take this personal. It's one thing, you know, to preach to the crowds and you sit amongst a crowd. You can kind of get lost in the crowd or not make application to yourself as it's a general application. But you need to make application for yourself, my friend. God knew that you would exist. God knew that you would live in this year, in this time, in this decade, in this century. God knew exactly when you would be alive. And He also knew that you would need a Savior. He knew that you would be guilty of violating His law. He knew that there would be no hope for your soul. God knew all about you before the world was ever even formed. And He put a plan in place and in motion that would culminate in Jesus Christ dying on a cross and shedding His blood for your sin. That is nothing more than pure grace, grace of God. There was a plan that was needed to be finished. It was an old plan. But secondly, number two, it was the only plan. It was the only plan. Some people look at the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and they conclude, oh, it must have been some terrible tragedy, some terrible accident. You know, Jesus was a good teacher, and His life was cut short. He ended early. What a tragic mistake. Some people look at that, at the cross, and conclude that it was a mistake, but nothing could be further from the truth. The cross didn't catch Jesus by surprise. He didn't have to switch to plan B when everything else had failed. God in eternity past planned for the cross. In fact, it was the only possible plan. There was no other way. Remember when Jesus prayed in the garden, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He basically saying, if there's any other way for sin to be forgiven, if there's any other way for a payment to be made, let it happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was the only plan, it was the only possible plan for the redemption of mankind. Even before man ever sinned, in the Garden of Eden, God planned to provide for their salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one way. There's only one plan. There's not a plan for the Baptists, another plan for the Catholics, another plan for the Methodists, and another plan for the Muslims. There's only one plan. And that plan is that lost sinners are saved by repenting of their sin and believing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Listen to what the Bible says about this matter. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now note this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is very specific here. And he says there's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to get to the Father except through him. And the Bible also says, if you look over in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. The Bible says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no mention here of Muhammad. There's no mention here of Buddha. There's no mention here of any other religious leader. There's no mention of any other kind of religion. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is no other plan. There is no other way. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what I'm saying is, and what the Word of God is saying, is that the only way a person will ever be saved from their sin, the only way a person will ever be delivered from an eternity in torment in the lake of fire, the only way a person will ever be made ready to meet God in heaven is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you accept God's plan and God's way of salvation. I'm pretty certain that if we were to take a poll and go through this room and ask how many of you want to go to heaven, every single person in this room would raise their hand or they would testify, yes, I want to go to heaven. Even some of you who are not saved, you'd say, I want to go to heaven. You can't get there. You'll never get there. You'll never be ready to meet God in heaven unless you come God's way with God's plan through Jesus Christ, through repentance of sin. God never planned for men to try to work their way to heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that. God never planned for men to make their own gods and worship them so that they could erase their sin. In fact, God says in Isaiah chapter 45, I am God, there is no other. God never wanted for people to be trapped in a wasted life followed by an endless eternity in torment. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He did it to save you, my friend. If you're here today and you're saved, you thank the Lord for his only plan and for the redemption of your soul. If you're not saved, Jesus died for you. You can be reconciled to God, but you got to come his way. Why did he go to Calvary? Well, there was a plan that needed to be finished, a plan that God had put in place before the foundation of the world. Go back to our text there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and look in verses 18 and 19 with me. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, we find here, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here we see another reason why Jesus went to Calvary, because not only was there a plan to finish, but there was a payment to furnish. Here we're not redeemed with corruptible things, with like silver and gold, but were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There was a payment that needed to be made. And when Jesus died on the cross, listen, He was paying a debt that He did not owe for those who owed a debt that they could not pay. Man had sinned against the Lord. And because of that, man is sold under sin, the Bible says. And the only way we can be delivered is for a ransom price to be paid. Really, the only way to truly understand this is to look at this picture from God's point of view. When God made man, Adam and Eve, He created them in innocence. And we know that the Bible teaches He placed them in the Garden of Eden. And there every need was supplied. They had sweet fellowship with God. It was paradise. But the only restriction that God placed upon Adam and Eve was to refrain from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said you can eat of every tree, you can partake of this wonderful creation, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat of it. Because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That was the only restriction that God placed upon Adam and Eve. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 2. What God meant was that if you eat of that tree, you are going to die. Not only would that be eventual physical death, but He was talking about immediate spiritual death, separation from God. Because before that, they had enjoyed fellowship and communion with God. There was a relationship that was there. There was sweet harmony and fellowship. But when they disobeyed God, and when they partook of the tree, and they disobeyed God's command, they died that day just exactly as God said. That death was separation from their God. Eventually, it would lead to physical death. But they died just as God said they would. In a spiritual sense, they were separated from God. And from that day forward, mankind has been separated from from His Creator. Mankind does not have a relationship with God because of Adam's sin. And by nature, the Bible says, we are the children of wrath. Romans chapter 5. In verse 12 says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all separated from God. In fact, look with me in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And we look at verse 2. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. This is true of every man. Our sins have separated us from God. In Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there with me. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. The Bible says here, Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And when Adam ate of that forbidden fruit in Genesis chapter 3, man died just as God said he would. And from that day forward, all of mankind is separated from God. And what man needs is a Savior, someone who could pay the debt of sin that we owe to God and set things right again. And that's just what Jesus did when He died on the cross. He paid the debt that Adam incurred when he sinned against God. But He also paid the debt that every one of us owes to God, if we'll only receive Him by faith. There was a payment to furnish. It was a ransom payment. And when Jesus died on the cross, listen, his blood canceled your debt of sin, if you'll only believe on him. And that is the theme of the Bible, my friend. This is what God's word teaches, that salvation doesn't come through worldly things like silver and gold, or from your vain conversation or vain lifestyle and vain religion. Salvation doesn't come through corruptible things, worthless religious activity and ritual. It comes through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, this is a scarlet thread that courses its way throughout the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Skip down to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to prepare in the appearance of God, or in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundations of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here the Bible again teaches us that it's not the physical things. It's not the temporal things. The blood of bulls and of goats, those were temporary things. God dealt with sin in a particular manner then, looking forward, looking ahead to when the spotless Lamb of God would come to put away sin forever. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7 says, regarding the blood of Jesus Christ, regarding the Savior, Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. This scarlet thread courses its way from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 1, 5, let me read it for you. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This tells us of God's great love for sinners and of a Savior who is willing to die in our place. There was a payment that needed to be made. It was a ransom payment. This is the thought that prompted the songwriter. We sing a song in our hymnal, and the words say, what can wash away my sin? The answer to that question, the songwriter answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? You understand there's a separation from God. We're by nature separated from God. We don't have a relationship with God. We need to be made whole. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Has there been a day in your life, friend, when you really saw yourself as guilty, vile, wretched, unclean, violators of God's law, offensive to God, deserving of God's wrath and judgment. Have you seen yourself like that? Because that's what we are. And we deserve God's wrath for our sin. And there's nothing that can wash us clean except the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with God because Jesus Christ has washed away your sin? You can't pay your sin debt to ever see heaven. If you don't accept God's plan, you will pay you for your sin, but it will never be in any other place except for the torments of the lake of fire. People will pay for their sin for all eternity. But Jesus Christ came to make a ransom payment. But there was also a redemption payment. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. These verses tell us that the blood of Jesus Christ brings the believer into a state of redemption. This is a word that comes to us from the ancient slave trade or slave market. And it means, the word redemption means to buy a slave in the market from off the slave block and to forever deliver that one from their bondage. And so understand this, as a sinner, we are in bondage to our sin. We are slaves to our sin. There is no freeing of us. But when Jesus came to die on the cross, he paid a redemption payment. He bought us out of the slave market of sin and forever set us free. Where we have victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave in Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, listen, you have the power in Christ to have victory over sin. That's why Romans 6 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We can have that power to overcome the flesh and overcome sin and not struggle and be defeated by sin if we have Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he provided the means whereby lost sinners who are trapped in the futility of a wasted life and headed for a godless eternity can forever be set free from their bondage. Think of that truth, my friend. That is what redemption is all about. Praise the Lord that he came to set sinners free. Praise the Lord that he came to pay the price that we could not pay, that he came to break from our lives the chains of sin that bind us and set us free. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. When we have Jesus Christ, we're free from the dominion of sin. Romans 6:14, I wish we had the time to look at it. We're free from the law of death, listen, that daily decimates the human race. There's no sting and no victory in death in the grave anymore because of Jesus Christ. We're free from eternal condemnation. If you've never been saved, you might think that you're free. Oh, you can live and do what you want to do. I used to think that before I was saved. I wanted to be free from the restraints of Christianity. And when I was 16 years old, I went the way of the world.
I said, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. I'm going to do what I want to do. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was free. And it wasn't until later on I realized, when God began to pull and to draw me, I realized how enslaved and in bondage I was to my sin. You might think you're free without Jesus Christ. You might think you can do whatever you want to do. And you certainly can do whatever you want to do. But know this. God's keeping track. And judgment day is coming. A person's never tasted freedom until they've experienced the freedom that Jesus Christ gives. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 36 says, if the Son will make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Not only was there a ransom payment and a redemption payment, but lastly, a reasonable payment. A reasonable payment. One, a person may wonder, why? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Well, the answer lies in the fact that a holy God has been offended by sin, by the sins of men. And the only thing that could set the record straight, the only thing that can clear the account, the only thing that will make the difference is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, shedding His blood. The innocent had to take the place of the guilty. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The innocent had to take the place of the guilty. That guilty party is you and me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him," that's Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." When Jesus Christ came to this world, He died on the cross. His blood did what the blood of all those animals of the Old Testament could never do. His blood took sin away forever. It's a reasonable payment because God has been offended by sin. All people are sinners. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And God is a holy God who must deal justly with the sins of man. And that means that every person that's born into this world is under the condemnation of His wrath and headed straight for a devil's hell. But that's not what God wants. That's not His intent. He's not willing that you perish, but that you come to a place of repentance. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But my friend, make no mistake, you will pay for your sin for all eternity in a devil's hell if you don't accept God's plan. There is no other plan. There's no other payment. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ shed His blood, He forever satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God for sin. And He opened up the way of salvation for lost people. Thank the Lord for His payment. We should thank God for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank Him that He made a way for our sins to be forever put away. Have you thanked Him yet today for your salvation, friend? There was a payment that needed to be made, and Jesus did that so sinners could be saved. Why did He go to Calvary? There was a plan that needed to be finished, a payment that needed to be made. And the last thing, and quickly here, is there was a people that needed to be set free. Verse 18, go back there to our text. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." Skip down to verse 20. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For you. For me. There was a people that needed to be free. These verses make it clear that Jesus came to redeem people from their bondage in sin. He didn't die for himself. He died for you. He died for me. He came to set me free. He came to set you free. Free from what, you might ask? All the things that bind you. All the things that condemn you. Your sin. Jesus Christ came to set people free. These verses mention two things that bind a sinner. First of all, Jesus Christ came to set people free from an empty existence. Notice the mention of the words vain conversation here in verse 18. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation. The word conversation refers to method of life or behavior in life. The word vain means empty. And so Peter says that those who are outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ are living an empty existence, living an empty life. In other words, without Jesus Christ, you're just spinning your wheels. Without Jesus Christ, there is no purpose to your existence. And you're wasting time. All the planning, all the working, all the getting, all the doing, all the hoping, all the waiting. It will come to nothing in the end of your life without Jesus Christ. What are you living for? If you don't have Jesus Christ, all you can do is live for the here and now and try to make some momentary, temporary pleasure for your life. But it's all going to come to nothing. There's several rich men in the Bible. All of them who did not have Jesus Christ lived an empty existence, even with all of their wealth and riches, and they died. And Luke chapter 16 is very specific. The rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What good did all of his riches do? Why did he live his life? All the getting, all the planning, all the working, it was vain, it was empty, it was worthless. The quest for comfort, the quest for pleasure, the quest for recreation and satisfaction, it's going to fail and it's futile. And a life lived without Jesus Christ is a wasted life. Oh, that's just so mean. That's just so cruel. It's the truth, my friend. Your life, your existence right now, no offense, but it's worthless if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ came to set people free from an empty existence. And regardless of what a person accomplishes in this life, or what they gain for themselves, when we pass through this world, in the end, it all amounts to nothing without Christ. On the other hand, Jesus came that he might give life, John chapter 10, and that they might have it more abundantly. He came to give meaning to your existence. And it's really not all about this life and this existence. It's a benefit of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you can have meaning and purpose in your life if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can understand what it means to have true fulfillment. You can understand what it means to have true contentment. People are searching for contentment. I mean, some of you sitting here this morning are not happy people. You're not content. Your life is in turmoil. It's up and down, and you have fears, and you have wrestling going on inside, and you'll never find fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. Well, the devil tries to promise people happiness. He tries to promise people contentment and fulfillment. But he's a liar. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart's a liar. Satan tempted Eve, putting on a picture of how good this will be if you just take of this fruit that God said you shouldn't eat. Painted a pretty picture. She found out that all the devil's apples have worms in them. That's what sin does. That's what this world does. Paints a pretty picture that you can have some sort of fulfillment in this life, but you never will outside of Christ. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he promises abundant life, peace, joy, fulfillment, meaning. But it's only through him. But not only does Jesus Christ set people free from an empty existence, but he sets people free, most importantly, from an endless eternity without him. Yes, Jesus Christ died, and salvation does make life more meaningful. But the most important thing is that it settles your eternity. And you have peace with God. The only remedy for those who leave this world in their sins is for them to spend eternity without God in a place of torment. This is literal. The Bible says it's a place where there's wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternal fire, and torment. But the Bible tells us that hell was never intended for people. It was intended for the devil and his angels. However, just because God intended hell for the devil and his angels, don't let that cause you to think for a minute that you won't spend eternity there yourself. Jesus came to change all that, though. And his promise is, if you believe in him, if you repent of your sin, you'll have everlasting life. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. Why? Because there was people that needed to be free. Why did he go to Calvary? Well, he went for God. God was offended by sin. A payment needed to be made. He went for himself. He went for you. He went so that we could have peace with God. The question is, will you come to him? There's only one way, and it's through Christ. Have you repented of your sin, put your faith in Christ? I don't want to hear about religion. I don't want to hear about, oh, I think I'm saved. Oh, I think I've done this. Oh, I think I'm this. Real salvation changes a life because the Spirit of God indwells you. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been made brand new because of the blood of Jesus Christ? If you've never been saved, you have a chance today. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're saved today, thank the Lord for it. Amen. Where would we be without Jesus Christ? We'd be lost without any hope. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your perfect plan. Before the foundation of the world, a plan that would enable and allow sinful men to be reconciled to God. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us that is so great that would cause you to send your Son to die for people who hate you. Lord, we can never understand that fully. But we thank you and we love you. And Lord, I pray today for those among us who've never been saved, and there are some. Pray, Lord, that they would fall in repentance, crying out for mercy from a holy God, putting their trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen.